best I can be. Welcome once again to Grace Baptist Church and our Sunday school time. I'm sure you have, and if not, I pray that you do notice that I give that little pause each time. We're not in Sunday school. We are in Sunday school, a time when we come to be schooled in the things of God, to learn from God, to learn of God. What a marvelous time for us. Today we want to deal with two words which are overwhelmingly expansive: in Christ. In Christ. We want to look at things that are found in Jesus Christ and in Him alone. That is overwhelmingly important. As human beings, we will find these things nowhere else but in Christ. No angel nor human being can supply the things we're going to speak of. No wealth or position among angels or humanity can give these things, can grant these things. We're going to also look at what it means for humans to be, human beings to be, in Christ. First, let's take a look at things that are found in Christ alone. You know, that which animates you and I as human beings is referred to as life. Life, or spirit, as it is also called, cannot be seen, but is evidenced as we live, move, and have our being. That spirit of life is found in Christ, the Son of God. Before He became a human being, God the Son was life itself from eternity. A familiar passage in our Bibles that all of us have probably read a number of times or heard preached on a number of times. The Gospel of John, verses 1 through 4. In the beginning was the Word. Now we know, as we read on in that first chapter, that that Word is clearly identified as Jesus Christ. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God. And I've explained to you before, the word "with" there means close upon, one with. And the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things, how many things does that leave out? Leaves out nothing. All things were made through Him or by Him, and without Him, nothing was made that was made. In Him was life, and the life was the light of humanity. When Christ became a man, God the Father granted him to maintain his divine identity. John 5:26. For as the Father has life in himself, says Jesus Christ, speaking of his Father, so he has granted the Son to have life in himself. Christ, Jesus Christ, for all eternity and today and forever, has this life force, this animation of all humanity in himself. When Colossians 1:17 says of Christ that in him all things consist, in him all things are held together, that evidences that you will not live one more breath except Christ maintains your physical life by supplying you with spirit. That's the way that it is. Think about that the next breath you take. That would not occur except Jesus Christ was supplying you with that spirit, with that life. Now, I want us to expand our view of life by looking more at the only source we should look to in such matters, and that is the Holy Scripture. I want to start off by using some scripture from 1 Timothy 4:8, taking it out of context, and I want to apply it to this message. Just five words in the last part of 1 Timothy 4:8. The life that now is. Think about that. The life that now is. Whether you are a reprobate without Christ, reprobate means a rejected one. And you know, as I have taught so many times, that's right where most people want to be. They don't want to have anything to do with Jesus Christ. Whether you are a reprobate without Christ or one of God's elect, predestinated unto salvation, you both have this life force animating the life that now is. Christian or non-Christian, both are animated by this life force in this present life. It is here we need to consider what Christ said in the Gospel of John, chapter 10, verse 10. Christ says this of his elect. Listen to this very closely. You may not have seen it quite this way before. I have come that they might have life, and that they might have it more abundantly. This scripture has most often been interpreted wrongly as referring to material blessings in the life that now is. That's what people talk about today in the so-called Christian church when they think of abundant life. Ultimately, I'll let the cat out of the bag. Ultimately, Christ is referring to eternal spiritual life when he speaks of having life more abundantly. Now, when Christ speaks of having life more abundantly, you've got to understand what more abundantly means. Those two words are translated from one Greek word. More abundantly is translated from one Greek word. And that translation does not render the level of this abundance. The word means beyond abundance or superabundance, superior in quality, exceeding or more than abundantly above. Think about that. Exceeding or more than abundantly above. That's the kind of life that Christ gives to his elect. He not only gives us our life's animation, that human spirit in which we live, move, and have our being, our physical life, but he also gives his elect eternal life, which is to know God intimately and to know Jesus Christ in that same intimate manner. That is super abundant life, eternal life. Now we'll deal with that a bit more in due course, in due time. The source of everyone's life force, I'm repeating now, the source of everyone's life force, their spirit, which gives everyone their soul, their being, is Christ. Everyone has their source of life, their being in Christ. But, as we've just seen, for God's elect, their life is enabled to go beyond that to eternal life, super abundant life in Christ and in Christ alone. Now I want us to look at things found only in Christ a little bit differently. God has a purpose for his elect, and in his purpose for his elect, he set them apart from the rest of humanity as a special people unto himself. Oh, how most people in this world today hate such a statement. God setting apart a people from the rest of humanity for a special purpose. The scriptures refer to this as sanctification, being set apart in such a way. And folks, God's people have been forever sanctified in eternity, from before time, as we know it, began. And these souls were set apart as united to Christ in that sanctification. Now, if you are a true born again child of God, a Christian, you have eternally been in Christ, in the purpose of God. That's how that works. God has always had a purpose for his people. And in eternity, that people was set apart in Christ in that purpose. Do I have scripture for these truths. Paul, when he was writing to Christians in Corinth, says this in his first letter to them. 1 Corinthians 1:2. He addresses them immediately. To those who are sanctified, set apart in Christ Jesus, called out saints. Yes, all Christians are saints. They're not just a special group of real Christians who are saints. All of us are saints, set apart ones. Additionally, Paul delivered some other words to Timothy in 2 Timothy 1:9 in speaking of God's testimony. Oh my goodness. If God testifies of it, we need to listen up. God, who has saved us and called with a holy calling, not according to our works, folks, you can't be good enough, but according to his own purpose. Again, people hate to hear that outside of the Lord Jesus Christ. Called us not according to our works. Again, you just never can be good enough, but according to his own purpose and grace, completely in the hands of God, which was given to us in Christ Jesus before time began. Yes, from all eternity. If you're a true Christian, in God's purpose, you were in Christ in eternity. Now, those two scriptures, if you listened, create an indisputable narrative. Those called out ones from the rest of humanity, called out to be saints, which again means set apart ones, have been set apart in Christ, which means united to Christ according to the purpose and grace of God, which was given to us in Christ Jesus before time began. Yes, I'm repeating that. This is at the heart of God saving us and calling us with a holy calling. If you who are listening to this at this point in time, individually, if you have been sanctified in Christ Jesus in eternity, you will be saved. Thanks be to God. Thanks be to God. Called with a holy calling in time. In time as we know it. And that holy calling is embodied in the new birth, being born again, which enables us to believe the gospel of Christ. That's how it works. You didn't conjure up that faith on your own. If you're left on your own, you'll never believe. That's just a fact. Listen to this now. Nothing is more true than this. Wherever you were in eternity in the purpose of God will be the same at the final day of judgment. I'm going to repeat that. Wherever you were in eternity, in the purpose of God, will be the same at the final day of judgment. Yes, God is in control of things to that degree. I know most folks hate to hear such a thing, but it's true. I want us to go to Philippians chapter 3, Philippians 3, I'm going to read verses 7 through 9. Philippians 3, verses 7 through 9. Paul speaking as one of God's saints, called out by God, for God. Paul says this: if you're a Christian today, sooner or later, you've got to say this too. But what things were gained to me, these I have counted loss for Christ. In other words, so many of the things that were so important to us before, we've put them aside. We count them as loss. Yet indeed, I also count all things loss for the excellence of the knowledge of Christ Jesus, my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things and count them as rubbish, that I may gain Christ. Oh, I need to come to grips more and more with that, that I may gain Christ. Now listen, and be found in Him, and may be found united to Him, not having my own righteousness. Folks, no one has that, which is from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness which is from God, the righteousness which is from God by faith. You'll never be right with God until you believe into the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, don't be looking at me. Where will you be found on the last day? There is coming a last day, a reckoning day, and no one can avoid it. No human being ever will be able to avoid this. Where will you be found on the last day? If you are not found in Christ, united to Christ spiritually, you will be cast into the lake of fire. An existence doesn't all end with physical death, folks. You're going to exist forever in some state of being, an existence of unspeakable terror and torment for all eternity. We can't comprehend that, but it will be. A place where there is no appeal, no bail, no parole, no mercy, no hope. Can you imagine that? I can't. No appeal, no bail, no parole, no mercy, no hope forever. Forever. But for those in Christ, united to Christ, not only in the purpose of God, but now in time. Time as we know it. But now in time, united to Christ by faith, there are marvelous blessings to be found in Christ. In other words, some blessings from God, and folks, they can be found nowhere but in Jesus Christ. You won't find them in Buddha or Muhammad or Krishna or your job or your friends or your family. You're going to want to find it in Jesus Christ alone, these blessings we speak of. Now listen to me closely, because I'm going to be specific. You can bite into this. When it comes to the things of eternal worth, we must concern ourselves with spiritual things. The carnal or physical things of this life are passing away. Now, folks, if God allows you to live into a ripe old age, you'll find that out. These physical things are passing away. And indeed, as the scriptures say, flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God. We do not know Christ unto salvation according to our flesh, but by the Holy Spirit, now listen to this, but by the Holy Spirit who baptizes us into Christ. Romans 6:3, if you'd like to see that. Yes, the Spirit of God immerses us into Christ. 2 Corinthians 5:17. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, united to Christ, baptized into Christ, that one is a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. The old things are carnal things leading to death. All things are new now because we are in the Spirit of Christ and He is in us. I want us to look at a familiar scripture again, another familiar scripture in Ephesians chapter 2. Ephesians chapter 2, verses 1 through 6. Ephesians 2, verses 1 through 6. And you, and again, if your scripture says who he made alive or something like that, that's not in the text. Let's read it the way that it is. It's much more effective if people would leave out some of these inserted words. And you who were dead in trespasses and sins, and God presented it to this way because in this way, because he's going to show us what it means in part to be dead in trespasses and sins, in which you once walked according to the course of this world. You were worldly. According to the prince of the power of the air, of the atmosphere, the devil. Who's in control of this world order as we see it? Who's leading it the way that it is? Satan. God has given him that power. The spirit who now works in the sons of disobedience, among whom also we all once conducted ourselves. Let us not be haughty as Christians, but thankful, humble, because God turned us around and gave us a new life. in the lusts of our flesh. We once conducted ourselves in the lusts of the flesh. Oh my, I'm certainly willing to admit that. Wow. Fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature children of wrath, just as the others. Now, what has that been talking about? It's been talking about the old things. But God, wow. But God, who is rich in mercy, because of his great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. That's being baptized into Christ by the Holy Spirit. Made us alive together with Christ. By grace, you have been saved. Now listen. And raised us up together and made us sit together in the heavenlies in Christ Jesus. And of course, that verse 6 that we just read repeats what was said earlier in Ephesians 1:3. Listen, blessed the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now listen, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenlies in Christ. Now that being true, what we've just read and said, these things being true, and they are, if you are one of God's people, you must adhere to Colossians 3:1. Remember there at chapter 2, verse 6, it spoke of being raised, being with Christ. Colossians 3:1, if then you were raised with Christ, if you were resurrected spiritually in the new birth, seek those things which are above, where Christ is sitting at the right hand of God. Now you know what place that is? It's the place of all authority, which is in Christ, in Christ. If you are a genuine Christian today, you are desiring these spiritual blessings in greater measure day by day. I've prayed that so many times. I've prayed that many times. To have a greater measure of these spiritual blessings, seeking them. Now listen to me. I told you it's going to be really specific. These spiritual blessings, at the heart of these spiritual blessings is the ninefold fruit of the Holy Spirit of Christ. Listen to that. It's extremely important. Examine yourself. Christ is the essence of every portion of that fruit. Each portion is what it is because Christ is the source of every portion of the fruit of the Spirit. The fruit of the Spirit. What are you talking about? Love. Joy. Peace. Patience. Kindness. Goodness. Faith. Gentleness. Self-control. Those are spiritual blessings. To have those are spiritual blessings. Who could disagree with any of these blessings? Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faith, gentleness, and self-control. Surely, as Christians, we desire to be blessed with a greater measure of these virtues as we are becoming more like Christ day by day. Surely we should be praying for that. These virtues, the fruit of the Spirit of Christ, are indeed foremost when we speak of every spiritual blessing in the heavenlies in Christ. Now hold on to your seats. I'm closing. And this is not going to be slow. It's going to be quick. Just a few words here. I leave you with these words. Peter closed his first letter with these words. Peace to you all. I say this from my heart as Peter did. And this comes from the heart of God, friends, these words. Peace to you all who are in Christ Jesus. Amen.